And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I mean it when I say it, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, hey, listen, we're going to one of my favorite segments. Every week we do this, I can bring in two people who just mean a lot to us and do a lot in the background. Sometimes you don't even know what all they're contributing, and we like to take this segment and sort of break it into question and answer time. I ask them questions, and the next time we flip the script and they ask me questions, and I just wait with bated breath to see what they got. That being said, let me just reach out and tag them. One of them sitting right here in the studio, Butterman. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. You're excited to be here.
You ready?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm ready.
And then on the line with us, the indelible Lee from Huntsville. How are you?
I am here, and I'm good.
Good. Well, then let's do some Butters and Lee. All right. Oh, Butters has got his own sound effects going right there. We so, that caught me off guard.
Got to take the liberties when I can.
You just got extra points from John. All right, here's my first question. You know how it works. I ask you all questions and just get all your thoughts, and we dialogue about it for a minute. Then after the break, we come back and y'all ask me questions, and I just see how I do. Here's the deal. North Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia, parts of Florida, ravaged by Hurricane Helene. Even South Carolina, I believe, ravaged by Hurricane Helene. And it's still a recovery operation in some places. I mean, they're still finding bodies. It's just absolute devastation, especially in western North Carolina, eastern Tennessee. That being said, we just have a story that broke a little while ago, like today, that Alejandro Mayorkas has said that FEMA cannot afford hurricane season. Why? Because apparently they have had their funds depleted by taking care of illegal immigrants. FEMA, taking care of illegal immigrants, now cannot afford to help U.S. citizens devastated by a natural disaster. Lee, you first. Just let her rip.
Let me tell you, I have said so many bad words concerning this over the past few days. It's amazing. First of all, FEMA is funded by taxpayer dollars. That's
yep.
all of us.
Yep.
Everyone who pays in, taxpayer dollars. American taxpayer citizens and green card dollars. And then they're going to turn around and tell those same citizens when they're crying out desperately for help, where bodies are floating down rivers, where people are separated, where people have lost everything, family members, pets, homes. They're going to turn around and look us in the eye and tell us there's no money because we've been too damn busy subsidizing the world's poor so they can come here? This is what we're going to get from our government. Every single person within the sound of my voice that votes for Kamala Harris, you specifically, sir, have blood on your hands and ma'am. Period.
Don't beat around the bush there, Lee. Tell us how you feel. That's legit. I mean, I tell you what, before I say anything more, let me just jump on the Butters. What do you got?
I don't know. That's
your home territory.
I'm pretty spot on with what she's saying. I guess one thought, and maybe this isn't all that conservative of me, but if there ever was a time to print money, I mean, come on, like, don't tell me we don't have money. That's ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, mismanagement of the funds. And then I guess to pile on all of that, when do we just stay? Oh, sorry, I don't have any money to pay taxes. I'm not going to do that anymore.
Yeah, go figure. That won't happen.
Yeah.
You'd be hauled in. Your business shut down. Liens placed on your homes.
And then what?
That's what those 80,000 tax auditors for the IRS are for, to make sure you don't do that.
Yeah, but if we all stop paying taxes, those guys won't get paid either. But what is FEMA doing?
He does have a point.
What is FEMA doing with illegal immigrants? Is that their
giving them money? Giving them money, Butter.
Giving them
for
all
rent,
the
for food.
All the free stuff. Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody is quoted in a Fox News article I'm looking at right now. She says that FEMA has paid out over $1 billion on migrants. $1 billion from FEMA. And now all of a sudden Alejandro Mayorkas, his His actual quote is, "We are meeting the immediate needs of money that we have. We're expecting another hurricane. We do not have the funds. FEMA does not have the funds to make it through the season." That's his words.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure you can.
A country's first obligation is to its citizens, period, end of story, or we do not have a country. So right now, we are looking very dangerously like we're on the precipice of no more country. Because if you can't take care of your citizens, but you can take care of everybody else, then you no longer have a country.
Well, it matches right with not having borders, right?
So
yeah.
I'll pile on that in a positive way.
Oh.
The true backbone of America is what we are seeing. And that is all of the people that are mobilizing around the states around here, you know, locally, the churches, the veterans organizations, all of these things. Elon Musk, that's what American spirit is really about. And yeah, we're going to go take care of each other. And you know what? If the government is dysfunctional, okay, well, we'll just take care of our own, and we'll sort it out in the end.
I think
they're turning
saying,
them away, Bubba. They're turning them away. They're telling them they can't help.
Well, and
actually telling people they can't help.
And that's what I've heard too. And I know that some of that may be if there's a danger zone, they don't want to have to go rescue a rescuer. We had some problems like that during Katrina. But at the same time, I'm hearing that actual well thought out coordinated efforts are being stopped while FEMA decides what it can or cannot do, and that kind of bureaucracy kills people. Let me say this before we leave this topic. Butters and I were talking before the show. Are there any charitable organizations that I believe in that are doing great work there right now? And there's two. One of them is from right here in Alabama. Church of the Highlands has an amazing emergency rescue. I mean, they have teams that have 18-wheelers filled with equipment and supplies, and they are already up there doing major, major work. So if you want to support an Alabama-based organization, Church of the Highlands is engaged right now. The other one is Samaritan's Purse, the Franklin organization, and Franklin Graham organization. And I think that Samaritan's Purse is one of the best in the world at doing this sort of thing. So those two
Definitely.
I really do believe in. Absolutely.
Well, it would be a great viral photo for the election to have some folks from an Alabama church being arrested because they're going into an area to try and hand out water. I hope somebody gets a photo of that if that kind of stuff happens.
Let them arrest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What ridiculousness.
And did you know that President Trump's spending his own money, his personal cash, to send stuff there? And we have inept, bumbling idiots who are telling us, and like Mayorkas, who should be strung up by his toes and convicted of treason, telling us they haven't got anything to give. I hate these people.
Okay. And on that note, let me go to some other people that we're all really fond of right now. Dock worker strike. All right. Dock worker strike. Ron DeSantis has announced he's going to use National Guard to assist keeping his port operations as open as possible. I'm not sure how effective it'll be, but he says he's going to do it. But the Biden-Harris administration this morning said that they are siding with the union. I mean, literally saying they are siding with the union on this. Totally contrary to the example given by Ronald Reagan, who, even though it was a public sector union, he fired the air traffic controllers back in 1981 because of the damage they were going to do to the U.S. economy. Give me some unvarnished thoughts on this with about 3 minutes. Butters, you first.
Better to have them stay out of it than do something stupid like jump in on that side. But
you mean talking about Biden-Harris?
Yeah, Biden-Harris. Yeah. But you know, certainly they have you know, some good points have already been brought up in the show of, you know, that they're. It seems like that's on par with what we should expect from Harris,
oh, yeah.
You know, and just incompetent management of the whole country. So yeah, that's it, this thing's going to get out of hand quick. I don't know how bad it could get, but I hope they get some resolution. I am kind of curious on whether they, you know, whether Biden Harris, or I guess I'd say Harris, wants to keep it going to cause more disruption and chaos, you know. But yeah, it's a sad state, and we'll see what else happens in October.
Lee, what do you think, dock workers?
Well, here is the head of the dock workers saying, and I quote:
"Yep,
we will cripple
yep.
the American economy."
I played that soundbite a little while ago.
They're on the side of the man that said we will cripple the American economy.
Yep.
I mean, I knew they were dumb. I had no idea they were brain dead. Biden, and well, I kind of knew Biden was, but, you know, Harris, does she think this is going to help her to say she's on the side of the dock workers when the everyday American's going to seriously start feeling the pinch? And then they're going to cave and give them some big, like, I don't know, 60, 65% raise when the rest of us are just worried about keeping our jobs? These people are insane. But to have a man go on TV and say, we're going to cripple the American economy, he should be taken out back and butt whipped.
So we've got no more Red Bull for you. I don't know how much you had before you
or more Red Bull. She'll fix all our problems.
Bring it on. Lay it on thick for us, Lee. I like it. This is good. All right, listen. Those are the answers I expected because I know this audience, but I know the folks who work here in this show, and you guys are spot on. All right, listen. We're taking a break. We'll take the first break right now in the Butters and Lee segment. We'll come back, and this is where we flip the script. They ask me questions, and I just wait and see how I do. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just pulling some pins on truth grenades. All right, so we're looking at the text lines are blowing up. Apparently, Lee is winning today. So with much fear and trembling, I am going to flip the script here and let Lee ask me the first question for this round. Lee, what is on your heart and mind?
Fear and trembling. So I want to hearken back to the debate the other night, the vice presidential debate. I know a lot of people say it's not very consequential or has historically not been. But I want your opinion on whether or not you think this one might have been more consequential because of just honestly the danger Trump has been in, the attempts on his life. Mm-hmm. I think people may have wanted to be 100% sure if someone had to take over for him that it could be someone competent. I personally felt like he wiped the floor with Walt. Walt looked nervous and, you know, he did not look good. But I felt like J.D. Vance came across as very competent. So what do you think?
I completely agree. And there's also, by the way, I saw a stat, and I've not seen it confirmed, but I believe it's accurate, that something like 65 million people tuned in to that debate, which is a clear indication that there was a heightened sense of public awareness for a vice presidential debate. So if 65 million people chose to watch it, they had no choice but to come away with an opinion. And though it's the same as before. On the one hand, those who tuned in who had a preconceived leaning to the right still have it. Those who came in with a preconceived leaning to the left probably still have it. But the people who were in the middle going, what are these people about? You know, the several million who I'm sure were in that category, if there were 65 million tuned in, they could not walk away and say J.D. Vance did not save the day, make them comfortable. In fact, one piece from Politico, I believe it was, actually said he did a great job of describing the Trump agenda in a way that didn't scare the children. So that being said, I think it was far more influential than the average vice presidential debate. I also think, too, here's the thing. This has been a year when debates have actually meant something. Look at what it did to Joe Biden. Joe Biden is no longer a candidate because of a debate. Everybody is now going, oh, my gosh, debates. What could happen in a debate? And so now what we're seeing is that this season, at the very least, the debates, I think, meant more. And I think this one meant more than the average vice presidential debate. And I think J.D. Vance won. And Waltz didn't do horrible. If you were in there going, oh, please do good, you walked away going, well, you know, he didn't screw up. It was fine.
And that's, he called himself a knucklehead.
I know. But what I'm saying is you can still look at it and go, it was fine. But if you're looking to be convinced to come to his side, I don't think it was there at all. So hope that answered your question.
I kind of want to hear, as fired up as she's been, Lee, what was your take on the
debate? Yeah, give me your quick take, Lee. Well, she said she thought J.D. Vance wiped the floor with him, but
I mean, 100%. I felt like that he had, you know, there was a few where it could have been fleshed out. He should have actually gone after him a little bit more. It was like he was trying to be as nice as humanly possible, which I don't think we need right now, but obviously. But I think Walt always looked like a diarrhea cramp hit him or something. Like, he was like, oh! Like that. Like he always looked like he's about to pop a sweat, didn't he?
I did see a side by side, and it And it had, if you had to pick a cartoon character, the looks that we kept seeing from J.D. Vance were Bugs Bunny, large and in charge, and the other one was Tim Waltz, was Elmer Fudd, and it was a perfect fit.
Yes.
It was a perfect fit. All right, we're going to run out of time real quick. What's your question?
So, I hope this one fires her up even more.
Oh, Lord.
So you want to know who I've always thought of that does well with the immigration issues?
Okay.
The Dominican Republic.
Okay. the other half of the island of Hispaniola.
Dominican Republic, looking at CNN right now, Dominican Republic to deport up to 10,000 Haitians a week,
what?
Citing an excess of immigrants. What is going on?
Are they deporting them back to their half of the island?
Yeah.
Wow. They have a wall. Imagine that. They got a wall.
They got a wall in the mountain range.
They don't want them there. They don't want them there because an economy sucks. So, they're better off economy.
So, Lee, are you going to allow me to talk?
I'm sorry. I'm just hot today.
I can tell. For those who don't recall, Dominican Republic and Haiti share an island. They split it in half. Is it the Isle of Hispaniola, I think? So Dominican Republic has got its own problems. I mean, the DOMREP we've had to intervene there in the 60s. We had troops down there because it was a mess. But they've pretty much got their act together. Haiti has never had its act together. Haiti has been a mess from day one. Haiti is just an awful third world mess. And the DOMREP is now saying, you know what? Go back to your side of the island. That's hilarious, to be honest with you. And you got to look at it and go, if the third world is deporting the third world, why are we taking the third world in? Just saying.
If the neighbor doesn't want to welcome it in, why are we? That just kind of blew my mind.
So that was out today? That came out today?
Yesterday.
Yesterday. Wow. All right. Well, I think that's very apropos, and I think it also... I hate to say it, but maybe the Dominican Republic is giving us some inspiration for what we need to do. Although I think it's a lot less costly for them to export theirs to the other side of the island than it is for us to export them back. But I'm anxious to hear Trump give the details of how he's going to actually do the deportation plan, because we have no choice but to do true deportations. Would you not agree, Lee?
They flew them in. We can fly them out.
By golly, there it is.
Can we fly them into Asheville, North Carolina, and have them... Go help with recovery. Do we have money for that? Does that get FEMA back in the loop?
There won't be a cat or dog left in the entire state. Just saying. Horses will be eaten in the fields.
Lord, have mercy.
And crows being eaten off the fence posts. It's just anyway. There, I'm being really ugly now, but that's it. All right, we come down to the end of it. Lee, we love you. Thank you so much for coming in and inspiring us. And apparently you've won all the text messages, but we'll see you soon.
All right. All right,
see you. Butterman going to just make me mad with the Dominican Republic. I didn't see that one coming. Just the Dominican Republic is not exactly on fire in terms of its economy and its governance. But it's apparently a lot better off than the other half of the island, and maybe even better off than Washington, D.C. All right, we're coming right back with State Senator Chris Elliott, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.